We believe that true success in every domain of life and work begins with a vision and a plan.
I'm Michael Counts.
And I'm Sarah Ellis Conant, and we are the founders of A Plan Coaching.
And you're listening to All You Need Is a Plan,
a podcast that explores how we can get the most out of life and work in the midst of more and more complicated and challenging times.
Each week, we'll bring you guests who represent success stories at companies and organizations of all shapes and sizes,
as well as thought leaders at the forefront of business and the wellness economy.
So the purpose of this podcast is to share and explore stories of personal and organizational achievement, ranging from how a company can change its culture and transform into the next phase of its evolution and succeed in new ways, to how a filmmaker can have a vision for a new project and realize it despite all the complexities, challenges, and difficulties that stand in the way, to how two creative partners can build a business and become an award-winning architectural firm, and how a new mom can see a need and launch a small nonprofit that grows into one of the largest diaper banks in the U.S., and many more. Knowing that achievement is really an inside job, we'll look at how habits are formed and obstacles overcome, how organizational systems are put together, and how goals are set and explained, how successful teams are structured and managed, how people are supported to bring their best, and how challenges to team and group dynamics are mitigated so that the toxicity that can sometimes exist in a culture doesn't rule the day. So in this podcast, All You Need Is a Plan, we're going to explore how things get done, big and small, in companies and organizations of all shapes and sizes, and the role that coaching and other tools have in supporting the achievement of individual and organizational goals. With that in mind, let's get to it. Our guest today is Jessica Rolfe, co-founder and CEO of Love Every, a company that offers a subscription-based early learning platform for children that features toys designed by experts for each stage of a child's brain development. Jessica is also the co-founding partner and COO of Happy Family, a wildly successful organic baby food company that was acquired by Groupe Danone in 2013. And finally, as someone who understands the value of coaching both personally and professionally, and I think like us, saw the democratization of coaching as a building trend in business and generally in our culture, Jessica was an early investor in A Plan, and Love Every is a company that A Plan Coaching is very proud to work with and support. With that said, Jessica, welcome to the podcast. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael.
Awesome. So I guess in reading your background and in knowing you as we do through A Plan and through working with Love Every, there are so many kind of points of intersection that I found interesting, but the drama in all of its ways with being an entrepreneur and your starting of Happy Family in your basement and so forth, I just love to start there, like your journey as an entrepreneur. I know we'll get into kind of culture and success and growth and how we support our people, but I'd love to just start with the kind of the gritty entrepreneurship story that is yours. So with that, what any background you'd be willing to share?
Yeah, well, about 20 years ago, I actually met your co-founder, Sarah Ellis Conant, and was really excited about this intersection of business and social change. So how could you use business as a platform for doing good? I was really inspired by Seth Goldman, who founded Honest Tea, and Anita Roddick of The Body Shop, and all of these stories of entrepreneurs that used these tools of this really fast-paced, high-growth, entrepreneurial, you know, environment to actually create change in society. And so I started studying these case studies and really immersing myself in painting a vision for myself as a social entrepreneur. So I met Shazi Visram, who's my co-founder at Happy Family, and was so enamored with her idea to do something different in baby food. And at the time, Gerber had dominated the category. It was only 3% of all baby food consumed was organic in the United States. Now it's actually over 40% of all baby food consumed is organic a little over a decade later. So it was a really exciting shift. But I found myself feeling like this is my place to be in this fast-paced entrepreneurial environment that's just challenging me in every single way possible, but then also be able to scale something that feels connected and meaningful from a values perspective.
And how did that lead to, I mean, I know there were many aspects of that journey that led to ultimately to the acquisition in 2013. In the wake of that, what was it like to pivot to Love Every and the kind of the next phase of your life as an entrepreneur, again, kind of focus on children, early childhood development?
Yeah. So with Happy Family, we had every kind of challenge imaginable. Our first product was not a hit. We did not have product market fit. It was frozen baby food in these kind of beautiful bright green cubes that were in the freezer where nobody could find them. And we really had to do lots of thinking on our feet and be really open to a lot of change. And we were living hand to mouth, raising money, as bringing money in as soon as we could, just last minute, and then spending it. So really living hand to mouth in a lot of ways. We finally got Happy Family to a little bit more stability and scale, which was so exciting. We became the number one organic baby food company in the country and sold the company to Group Danone, which felt like kind of the impossible. And so there were a lot of sort of vision setting and dreaming times where it just didn't feel possible. But over 7 years, we're able to build the company to where we were able to really feel like we were making a difference. I had so many experiences with feeding my children. I have 3 children, and I felt so confident about what I was feeding them. They were eating sardines at 1 out of the can, and they were having all this like fresh, nutritious, organic food through Happy Family and really great, great eating habits. And I found myself on the floor with one of those plastic light-up toys and really watching my child push one button, and all of a sudden a purple cow pops out and music starts playing and lights are flashing. And I found myself wondering, what is this toy actually doing for his brain? I had done so much work on developing his body, but I didn't know what was going on with how I was nurturing his developing mind. And so I knew the statistics that 80% of the human brain by weight are developed by age 3, and that roughly half of who we become is based on our genetics, but the other half is based on our environment. So there's so much potential. And I discovered later, subsequently, a doctoral thesis written on infant brain development that totally changed everything for me as a parent. And it inspired me to want to start making my own toys. And I engaged with my baby in whole new ways because I knew what he was hungry to learn at each moment and what development windows were opening and closing for him. And so then I started dreaming about creating an early learning program. So pivoting from focusing on early life nutrition to focusing on early cognition and the kind of holistic social-emotional development of a child. So now we offer these stage-based play kits at Love Every. And it's really, I think that pivot of keeping one foot in an industry that I felt comfortable with, I was serving the same customer, that same parent who was looking for meaning and purpose in their parenting and looking for the best nutrition. I was serving still that same parent, but then I was doing it with Love Every in a totally different way, because we were going direct to consumer as opposed to at Happy Family, we were working in retail. Being able to combine a new challenge, but also have some familiarity, I think was really important in sort of building my career and feeling confident that I could do it the second time around.
You know, we work with so many companies now at A-Plan, and the more, you know, we work and struggle to grow our company, but also have visibility into the other companies that we're serving, it's so clear to me now how much culture and how you manage human capital and not just the, do you have a great product and does the market want it, but how are you supporting your people? How are you supporting the growth of the company, the culture of the company? Because a great product with the wrong execution, I don't think is going to go very far, certainly not as far as it could with outstanding execution. And a lot of what I've read in your leadership focuses a lot on culture. And you talk a lot about your employees and your customers as parents, as your market, as the people you're trying to serve. And you seem so intentional about that. I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about the inside of the company. How are you building the culture? What's it like? What was it like at Happy Family? What's it like at Love Every? And how are you guys being intentional about the place and the ways in which people work and how they're supported and how you're building that kind of community and culture?
Yeah, it's a great question. I often find that culture evolves in sort of organic and sometimes can be really, in a fun way, very surprising. I don't feel like I have direction over the culture that we're creating. I think that it's really a co-creation with our employees. So our employees are very much creating the culture that they want to be in when they are showing up at work every day. And I think my role is to really allow for everybody to be their full selves at work and express themselves. So creating, you know, an equitable environment that's supportive, but then also really trusting people. So hiring great people and then trusting them to do great work. And when things are not working, be really deep, go deep, obsess alongside, roll up my sleeves, you know, do the job alongside, figure it out together, and then come up for air again in terms of my role and scan for the next area where things aren't necessarily aligned. And I think just hiring great people and like watching and letting that culture evolve and just being supportive has been my role. I was always amazed at a happy family. You know, they're brewing kombucha in tubs and in the operations room, and had just a really fun culture around health and nutrition and organic foods. And we had Friday breakfast that sort of evolved, and teams would brief each other on things that they were proud of, excited about, and then also things that they were learning about out in the world around sustainability and topics that they cared about. And so that sort of culture was really created by our employees. And at LoveEvery, we are just coming back through COVID. We now have 160 employees, and only 2 years ago, we had 12 employees. So we've scaled very quickly and scaled, you know, a lot through COVID. And so we were a lot of remote employees. And so now we're really creating, trying to be thoughtful about being, you know, inclusive. So how do you include folks that are remote, and then also the team that's in the physical office, and have everybody feel like that's an equitable environment for them, no matter where they stand? How do you allow for different perspectives to show up at work and have everybody feel comfortable being themselves? And I think it's subtle, and I'm really excited to see how the culture evolves at LoveEvery. I think that also, I think, have been some kind of microcultures in the teams, in the different teams, and there's a customer service culture that's like really supportive of each other, because it can be really hard to answer customers all day, and it's a tricky, precise job, and they're really there for each other. And so there was like somebody that brought in flowers every Friday, you know, and so there were fresh flowers on the desks, and that was that sort of way to uplift that team. And then the product culture for the engineers and the team that's building the products. We just celebrated the launch of our 3-year-old products last night and today, and had cakes made in the form of the size of the boxes. So I think celebrating was really fun. So I think but it really is happening organically. And I would love to hear more from you and the coaches at A-Plan about how to be intentional about it. But it seems like, from my perspective, if you're supportive and inclusive and are really just clear about what you need from the company perspective and hire great people, it can happen on its own.
I know that coaching has been something that a resource that you've used in your work and life. I think for the benefit of our listeners, a lot of people come and sort of interested in coaching in its many forms, in its many uses, both personally and professionally. I'd love to hear anything you'd be willing to share about your experience with coaching in just in your own life.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I think for me, coaching has been so helpful for the emotional side of the business. I find that the problems of business aren't necessarily what drains me. We have supply chain issues. There's containers that are being hung up. Some costs are skyrocketing. There are challenges with developing great products. There's listening to customers, and there's a ton of travel at times, and it can be really exhausting. But that's not the part of work that can be draining. What's draining is the interpersonal, and worrying about how you're showing up to your co-founder or your partner, or how you're showing up for this employee that is struggling and you might need to let them go, or you might need to do some really clear feedback. I think that that's the hardest part. And I think that that emotional drain can take the most out of us at work. And so having a sounding board for me for the past, you know, 15 years has been so helpful to be able to try and be my better self. So I can kind of vent and process and say, this is how I'm feeling and this is how I want to react, and then sort of push through those reactions and decide what's actually most helpful for the long-term health of the relationship might mm-hmm. be a better reaction or more elevated way to approach something with the sort of broader mission of the relationship in mind, as opposed to wanting to be right, for example, or feeling angry about something and instead transition, you know, translating that into like expressing how you're feeling authentically, you know, to somebody and saying, I'm feeling vulnerable about this, or I think I made a mistake here, or I didn't feel good about the conversation that we had. Being able to show up like that, I think, has been really fueled by support from my coach.
Yeah. My experience parallels yours. Sarah, my partner, who you know so well, my journey with all of this really started with her. And she was my coach and I was in entertainment and more or less the shortest way to describe it is an entertainment executive and entrepreneur, and had very little to do with coaching. But in that business, coaching was like my kind of secret weapon. And it was in realizing what a huge impact it was having on me. Coaching has obviously grown and evolved and become way more prevalent and used throughout our culture and business. But in New York, it was still felt a little kind of West Coast-y still, and was a little bit less. Like, I'd still talk to people 5 years ago, 3 years ago, last year, who I talk about coaching, and they'd be like, I've heard about coaching. What is that? And what's interesting to me is how much that's becoming, certainly in startup and in tech in Silicon Valley, where Sarah's based, it's almost kind of a de rigueur kind of resource. I know how much you support your teams and how we're being employed at Love Every, but like just more broadly, not just within your experience, what are you seeing as sort of a cultural trend in business and as, you know, with things like coaching and some of the other resources that I know you're providing with like childcare and resources like that for your people? It's great to be on the leading edge, but what are you seeing more broadly in business today around those types of cultural shifts?
Yeah, one of my employees that I worked with at Happy Family and that also transitioned to Love Every and to work so we could work together again. It's been so great, but I've really learned from him. And one of the things that he shared was that it's not really about this concept of work-life balance where you put work into a box and then you have everything in balance with your personal life. And it's really about energy and sustaining energy and feeling energized. And so I think a lot of the conversations we have are around feeling like there are times where you really need to surge and work a lot, and you might not be able to do all of the things around the other parts of life that are meaningful for you, but that you're energized. And then you can have some times where you sort of take it a few steps back and can surge on your personal life or surge on something else that you're working towards. So I think it's rethinking the sort of concept of there's work and there's life, and I think we're all integrating. And so how can you grow as a person at work? How can you feel like you're on a growth path because you're spending a lot of time here and not just think about how can I just grow in my personal life or, you know, achieve more at work? It's really about kind of the holistic person growing. And there's a lot of lessons that can be learned at the office. And those lessons often translate into those same themes of what you're struggling with at home in your marriage or in your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your parents, your friends will also show up as something that's going on at work.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And so being able to tune into those themes and grow, and we're all just working to be our fullest selves. And so I think that being able to get in tune with that and letting work offer up those lessons in life can be really helpful.
Mm. Do you think that COVID in the last kind of year and a half that we've all lived through has accelerated or amplified that? I mean, at Love Every or in other instances that you've seen in business?
I mean, I think that, yeah, COVID has been a real challenge. I think that what we found is that we're flexible. You know, we were able to flexibly get to home base. And then our team on June 1st was able to, a lot of the team, majority of our employees have flexibly worked back into working into the office and together. And I think that there was a lot of hesitation there. Oh my gosh, like, what's it going to be like to go back to the office and have that new pattern in life? And I've gotten kind of used to being at home, and I've sort of gotten into my, you know, habits, and it's working for me. Is it going to still work for me to go to the office? And I think that I'm just really proud of the ability of our team to be flexible, to adjust to both scenarios. And now it's really fun to be in the office together, and we're finding a lot of energy and productivity here together again.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. It's funny. I was speaking with someone earlier today who was sharing his stress about going back. They just announced at his company that they're all going back in September. And what he said was, he said, look, I just realized I'm not the same person as I was 18 months ago. And so the person who's going back to work is kind of a different person. And I think that that's, I think we've all been impacted in some ways, some subtle ways, some massive ways. And I think that flexibility that you're talking about is so critical to allow people to come back understanding that things have changed, culture's changed, work has changed, our sense of balance has changed, our priorities have changed. I know personally mine have I'm appreciating a much simpler less packed life than I did 18 months ago in my own personal life. And I think that companies that are acknowledging that, I think, are going to do better than trying to kind of, you know, if someone left a square peg and they come back a round peg, you got to adjust in some way, I guess, is the point.
Yeah. And then also being on the other side of it, it feels a lot bigger than it really is. When it happens, you're good. It's like not that hard to go back to the office. You know what I mean? It's not that hard to wear pants with buttons and like the zip up, you know, that don't have like an elastic waist. Like, it's actually really nice to have the commute or whatever it is. In some ways, I think that it's also feels like really big and intimidating because we had this huge adjustment to being at home, but there's a lot. I think it feels bigger than it really is on the other side.
Yeah. Do you think that there are lasting shifts? I think a lot of people people are talking about, like, what's going to remain with remote work? What's going to remain with how things have shifted? Are more meetings going to be on Zoom when they would have otherwise, you know, and pre-COVID would have been a flight, you know, to a trip? What are some things that you see in your view in business, things that you think might be lasting shifts and maybe not snap back in the same way? And I'd just be curious how that's manifesting in your world.
Yeah. I mean, work travel was reaching just this frenetic pace pre-COVID for me personally, traveling to, you know, overseas to Europe for our Europe launch and then traveling to, you know, China. Like I was booked to go to Europe. I was booked to be in trade shows in Texas and meeting customer events in California and then going to CEO conference somewhere else and then meeting with a customer. So it's just, it was too much. It's too much because we're also expected. I'm trying to fill my role as a daughter and see my parents who don't live nearby and have some fun with my kids over spring break or whatever it is. And so it was just almost reaching this just unsustainable level. And then everything, you know, kind of dropped out. And I think for adding back in, I'm finding that I think a lot more people are defaulting for Zoom for meetings, whether it's financing meetings. We were able to close our Series C through just Zoom. And it was kind of amazing and efficient. And then we used to travel a lot to both coasts for raising capital. So yeah, I think that the work travel, there is a little bit more of a question of whether you need to really be there. And I think that that will sustain, you know, and I hope for the planet that we're flying less, a little less. And it's also nicer it's nice to tuck in the kids into bed at night and have a little bit more consistency at home. So that's what I'm hoping to keep, is not add back all of the work travel. I think some will be needed and then other, I think, can be defaulted to Zoom.
Awesome. Something you said at the beginning, you were talking about your sort of inspiration, I guess, around starting Happy Family and the idea of the companies that you were looking to 15 years ago that were making a difference, that were doing good business, but also having a positive social impact. And that is very much in our DNA at A-Plan. We look to support change makers. We look to help people have a positive impact. We look to have a positive impact, help change business culture, help companies have a more sort of holistic and humane view with their people. And to see the growth that we've had in the last 3 years has just been so exciting, and to see companies work with us and partner with us and engage us to sort of be of service and help move the needle in those ways has just been such a joy. And to work with you at Love Every and the team there has just been such an honor and a privilege, and to support your work has just been a joy, and we hope to continue. And it's just such a pleasure to be with you, and I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast and for sharing your experience and your perspective. And I have no doubt that our listeners will get a lot out of it. And so thanks for the time today, and thanks for your partnership.
Thanks so much, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us for All You Need Is a Plan. If you'd like to learn more about what A-Plan Coaching can do for your team or organization, check out our website, aplancoaching.com, connect with us on social media, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening.